Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Oops. It's time for Sunday Night Live. We were just celebrating our 46th anniversary today, and we still smooch, don't we?
Oh, yeah. I like that.
Yeah, that's it. So let us get our composure. Whoops. And the dog is quit barking.
Dog's barking.
And we're good.
Hallelujah.
We're good. So praise the Lord.
Somebody calling, wanting us to kiss again. Probably.
Must have been either that or Jesus is calling. Anyway, but he is always calling, saying, "Will you be mine?"
Have you ever said, "Please, Lord, help me get through this day"?
I didn't say it today.
I don't think I can take
anymore.
Much more of this. If you said that, maybe you were physically tired, mentally exhausted, but for whatever reason, you're ready to close the books on a particular day. On a spiritual dimension, if you've ever felt or feel that way, don't say it.
That's it.
Don't say it for several reasons. First, your words can empower the enemy to continue tormenting your day.
That's right.
The Word of God tells us that our words have consequences. We decide whether they're good or evil.
That's right. It's what the proverb says in chapter 18 and verse 20. This is in the Good News translation. You will have to live with the consequences of everything you say. That is heavy.
Think about that. There's deep impact in that verse.
Yes, there is.
And it's a good one to personalize. You could personalize it and say, Judy, you'll have to live with the consequences of everything. You know, she'll have to live with the consequences of everything she says.
Wow.
Just personalize it for you, because it really has a lot of power to it. Have you ever said something you wish you hadn't have said, and you knew it as soon as the words come out of your mouth, but you couldn't reach out and grab them and take them back?
Mm.
You may have said it in anger and regretted it, but it was too late. The emotional damage had already been done. Perhaps you've exaggerated the truth about something you did, but you figured nobody would know the extent of the truth. Need to always remember, God knows the truth about what you're saying. Words can and will either bring life or death to you.
Absolutely. Proverbs 18, verse 21, next verse says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof."
Here's the bottom line, and it's found, I think, honey, in the contemporary English version of Proverbs 18:20.
Oh, okay. And it says, words kill, words give life.
That's the message. I'm sorry.
I was thinking it was the message, but I defer to you. Yeah, Proverbs 18, verse 21. I'm believing it is the message.
Do the message. Then I'll do
it. It says,
the other one.
Words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose.
Now, that same scripture in the contemporary English version says, make your words good. You'll be glad you did.
Yes, amen.
Here's a piece of advice.
Good advice.
Before you speak. Think before you speak. It's a good habit to acquire, and it literally can change your destiny.
That's right.
Think before you speak. It's not a matter of counting to 10. Just counting is not going to make the difference. But you need to think. Think about what you're going to say.
Very true.
Second, are your words expressing resignation to your circumstances instead of optimism about God's ability to change your day? You can change every day, and that's absolutely guaranteed in the Word of God.
It is. Philippians 4, verse 13 says,
and this is true whether you live in the United States or Canada or England or Kenya or India or Brazil.
That's right.
Or Singapore. I'm trying to think.
Or
Ghana,
Japan.
Ghana and Japan. I know those countries are watching.
Philippians 4, verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me.
There's no equivocation in this verse, but you might be asking, Brother Harold, do you really believe that I can do all things through Christ which gives me strength? Absolutely. Absolutely. The key component of this passage is that Christ's strength allows us to do all things.
Amen.
All things. The verse doesn't say some things. It says that we can do all the things that we need to do.
That he calls us to do, that we have in our destiny.
So here's a question. Is getting out of debt a thing? Yes. Is walking in financial freedom and abundance a thing? Yes. Is having a proper retirement and investment portfolio a thing? Yes. Is walking in divine health a thing? Yes. Is having a peaceful and loving family a thing? Yes. Is being free of any and all addictions a thing? Yes. Hallelujah. These and all other things are, you know, it's possible when we're strengthened through Christ.
Amen.
By the way, I got to do this. I do. Don't have to, but I want to. I was addicted to the hokey pokey until I turned things around.
Turn myself around. Oh, you got to get the punchline right, baby.
I know. I was regretting that I interjected it, but it's just so funny to me. I was addicted to the hokey pokey.
Until you
turned my life around.
Turned yourself around.
That's it.
And that's what it was all about?
That's what it's all about.
Okay. Onward and upward. That's our humor for the day.
With the mind of Christ.
That's true.
We can fully accept, appreciate, and activate the principles of his word when it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And so can you.
Yeah. Here is how this process works.
Yeah. With your natural mind saying, no, you can't do the things that God requires and says you can do. When the natural mind says that, your spiritual mind is going, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. See, the word says that we can do all things.
That's right.
Through Christ, which strengthens us. Hallelujah. But if you say, when you say, I can do all things, you're intensifying, fortifying, and magnifying that ability in your life. You're choosing the spirit over the natural. The key is to quit trying harder yourself and begin trusting God to do more.
That's it.
Because it says, I can do all things through Christ. Not in my own power, not in my natural mind, but I can do all things through Christ.
That's right.
That strengthens me.
And that is really the key. When we said up here that this is the way you do it, you know, you can work until you're blue in the face, trying yourself to do certain things. It's the releasing and letting God do it that will bring the fortification that we were talking about that allows you. The key is to quit trying harder ourselves and trusting God.
Here's what you need to know. No matter how your day is going at any point during the day, you have the ability,
yes,
and the power through the Word of God to change that day. To change that day.
Mm-hmm.
You do. Don't be moaning about it. Don't be murmuring about it. Be praying about it. Be praising God about it. And just say, you know, just get it scripturally right, and it'll make a difference.
That's it.
Third, never write off what is a gift to you.
The greatest gift
Time.
Of all.
Use it wisely. Don't wish it away.
That's right.
Jim Rohn, the motivational speaker and author, once said, time is more valuable than money. You can get more money, but you can't get more time.
There you go.
With a limited number of days on planet Earth, we should never wish a day away. We should never wish today away hoping that tomorrow will be better. Truly, we don't need to insult God by wishing away what is in fact a precious gift from Him. Another day of life right here on planet Earth.
Mm.
Decide to face whatever you're dealing with head on with the Word. And truthfully, create a confession based on Psalm 90, verse 12. Psalm 90, verse 12 in the Living Bible.
It says, teach us to number our days and recognize how few they are, Help us to spend them as we should. If we're committing every day to the Lord, that goes a long way in allowing our days to be what it is that they, that the Lord working through us instead of us moaning in the natural what's going on around us.
If we ask God how to use our days, He most surely will not tell us to wish it away.
That's right.
I'll be glad when this day is over.
I've heard many times, maybe once in a while said it myself, but years ago. Not anymore. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. In the Message Bible says, there's an opportune time to do things, a right time for everything on the earth.
How do we find the right time? By asking Him. Mm-hmm. Realizing that every day is a precious gift, particularly if you're walking in good health. Fourth, don't check out. Tap into an ever-ready power source.
I like that. Don't check out, tap in.
What you need to do.
To our ever-ready power source.
Tap in.
That's it. That's what we, well, that is the key. That is the key. I mean, well, all of these are keys, but this is an incredible key because if you're tapped into the right source, then the other things can't get you down. Philippians 1, verse 19, even though they try, says, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. You know, this same inexhaustible, never-ending source of supernatural power is always available to each one of us every day. The point is to plug in to that power that raised Jesus from the dead.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We learned from our friend Rick Renner, an amazing man of God.
Yes.
He's a Greek scholar, and he said that the word for study
in the Greek
is G2024. And it'll surprise you to know that it means, in a classical sense, on behalf of the choir.
This, in a sense, is like an idiom. You know, like when you do something, you it goes down through time and you don't even know where it came from, like passing the buck.
Yeah.
Remember when we learned where passing the buck came from? A long time ago. You know, that's how people were paid, literally by deer, the buck. And that's what got to be, they were passing the buck. So, you know, you say it and then you understand the median, but you don't. And in the Greek, this is where this came from. I'm going to let Harold tell the story, but this is where it's an idiom that came from the Greek. And it is an interesting story that he told us about.
While it may seem different than your definition of supply, it's important to understand the history of the word.
That's it.
Several thousand years ago in classical Greece, there was a huge choral and dramatic company that practiced endlessly for a very important performance. The members of this group invested a lot of time, energy, and money practice into the performance until the show was ready to go on the road. However, there was one problem, money.
Which mostly it is.
The group had invested a lot of their resources and their lives into this production to make it a huge production, but the money wasn't there. And it appeared that it was over.
Before it began.
That the show was closing before it ever had a chance to begin. Their dream came to an unexpected end. A very wealthy man heard about their problem. They came forth with a huge contribution on behalf of the choir. Not only did his contribution allow the production to begin again as planned, but it was more than enough and even more than what they knew to do with. That's how much money he gave.
An abundant supply.
Yep. The man's contribution was excessively large, abundant, overflowing, overwhelming, and above all, more than the production company could even dream of. As Paul Harvey said at the end of his broadcast, now you know the rest of the story. Here it is.
About the origin of the word supply. Supply.
In Philippians 1:19. It literally describes the enormous contribution of the Spirit that Jesus wants to give to each of us.
Think of that.
It's literally what it describes.
This is good stuff.
With this knowledge, we want to share with you what literally Philippians 1:19, how it should read when properly translated.
There you go. It says, I am certain that this situation will ultimately turn around and result in my deliverance. I'm sure of it, first, because you are praying for me, and second, because of the special contribution of the Spirit that Jesus Christ is donating for my present cause.
This means that when your physical and mental tank are empty, when you're giving your best effort, mm-hmm. and you can't go any further,
then
the Holy Spirit steps in to become your personal benefactor.
Your personal
benefactor. At the right moment, mm-hmm. when things seem down and out, Jesus steps in to make a massive, mm-hmm. overflowing, generous contribution of the Holy Spirit's grace and power. If we can learn to take God at his promises, mm-hmm. then we'll never have to worry again.
That's right. Think about that. If we can learn to take, and it says it right here in the scripture. Maybe I should say this one first. And it says in 2 Corinthians 12, you ready? 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So, you know, it is not, I mean, as we often say, God's not wringing his hands in heaven. When we get to the point of our weakness, yes, it bothers us in the flesh. Yes, it bothers us when we feel weak physically or mentally, or we've been, you know, tried to this point. But the Holy Spirit is waiting to step in at this point through this scripture. It says the grace is, if we can recognize that this depletion, the way we feel depleted, is really working right in with God's plans too, because he's going to infuse us. I love the way, you know, Jesus is our wealthy benefactor.
And he'll give us everything we
That's
need.
That's it.
Everything to get through this day and every other day.
That we need it.
He'll give it to us.
Amen. Woo.
Fifth, allow the supply of the Holy Spirit to do the serious lifting of your burdens, troubles, and problems.
And you know, that I have a great even quote, you know, example of that. Because here, I mean, I have this tendency to want to do the heavy lifting, as my husband says. He goes, don't. We have people that are hired to do that. Quit getting in there and doing it all yourself, you know, doing all the heavy lifting. I get used to it over time. I mean, I just did it myself. But see, the Lord wants to come in. He's not counting on all your strength and all of your, you know, he's saying, okay, let me work through you. Let me do it through you. And that's really what we're saying right here in this teaching. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11, it says, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do.
The word comfort in that scripture is the Greek word G3870. And it means, and I put the definition in the outline, to call to one side, to address, speak to, call upon, which may be done in the way of exhortation, entreaty, comfort, instruction, and to console, to encourage, strengthen, by consolation, to comfort. Now, that word is used in 10 scriptures as the word prayer. Now hear this very clear. 10 scriptures, that word for comfort is used as prayer. And we think it's significant that prayer and comfort come from the same Greek word.
Amen.
The same Greek word. If you want to be comforted, it's prayer. Prayer brings you the comfort.
Mm-hmm.
It does. We think that's significant. We're also to comfort one another as the Holy Spirit comforts us.
That's right.
According to Strong's Concordance, that word is G3875. And it means summoned, called to one side, one who pleads another's cause before a judge, a pleader, counsel for the defense, a legal assistant, an advocate, to lead them to a deeper knowledge of the gospel truth, and give them divine strength needed to enable them to undergo trials and persecutions on behalf of the divine kingdom.
And think about that with prayer. What do? We come in prayer to plead another's case, to you know, be their advocate, to help them and to pray for them and to bring them into that comfort that they need, no matter what it is that they're facing. In John 14, 26, very familiar scripture, but listen to this. It says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you."
We want you to pay particular attention to the phrases that we underline in that verse of scripture. If there's something you don't know, it's because you haven't asked the right person. He teaches you all things. You're so plugged in. You need to be so plugged in to the greatest teacher in the universe. And when you are, he doesn't want you to be ignorant. Scripture says that. He doesn't want you to be ignorant, so he will teach you all things. If you don't know something, it's probably because you haven't asked. Or I should say, perhaps you haven't connected with the right source.
There you go.
With the right source.
That's good.
Have you ever said, "I can't remember"? Well, first off, that's a negative statement and a tip of the hat to the devil's way of thinking when you say, "I can't remember." Second, to say, "I can't remember," is to ignore Scripture. If you utter those three words, do you then ask God to bring it to your remembrance? The Word says that He will bring all things to your remembrance. Some of the people that work with us are students, high school and college. And, you know, I tell them, they find out they've got an exam or a test. You know, my prayer for them is that they'll recall and remember everything they've read and heard in class. And that's just not me. The Scripture says that He'll bring all things to your remembrance because we have the mind of Christ, and He'll bring it to our remembrance.
But a key element in that is the fact that if you haven't read the Word, He can't bring those things to your remembrance because you don't have it in there. So it's a matter of staying, again, plugged in to the source, which is the Word of God. It needs to be a daily habit, and He'll make sure you have what it is you need.
6, as the verse says, turn your salvation to prayer.
That's right.
Joyce Meyer said, "It's so important to realize that every time you get upset, it drains your emotional energy. Mm-hmm. Losing your cool makes you tired. Getting angry messes with your health." Amazing, true, what she just said. Don't ever waste your time talking about what's going wrong today. Instead, praise God for what went right.
You can lose a lot of time, energy, emotion, and everything worrying over a problem when you really need to be using that energy and time and resource to work on the solution. God has an answer. We just have to find it. In Philippians 1, verse 19, in the Classic Amplified, it says, "For I know with confidence that this will turn out for my deliverance and spiritual well-being. Through your prayers and the superabundant supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, which upholds me." There's that scripture all over again in a different translation that makes it even clearer what God is trying to do and help us to walk through. It is. It is amazing.
"For my deliverance and spiritual well-being."
That's right.
"Through your prayers and the superabundant supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, which upholds me." Child of God, you got a spiritual weapon to get you through every day.
That's right.
You don't have to wish your days away. What you need to do is just get before the Lord, commune a little bit, and say, "All right, your turn.
That's it.
You deal with this. I'm giving it to you."
It's the learning. It really is a process, you know. It's the learning to turn it over and keep continually understanding that His presence is with you at all things and will help you deal with these things. And it is a process. It is definitely a process. But once you start getting into that swing, it's just something we need to practice every day.
See, the problem is, there's an old song, I forgot, lay my lay my burdens down. See, we lay them down on Sunday morning, Sunday night, but we pick them back up on Monday.
When I laid my burdens down.
You know, when it says lay them down, it doesn't mean pick them back up.
There you go.
It means you lay them down and leave them there.
Cast your care on him because he cares for you.
Laid them down on Sunday. Picked them up on Monday.
Yeah, we had, who was it? The Clouds of Glory used to sing that song. And they went
clouds.
Into Mighty Clouds of Glory.
Of joy.
Of joy. That's it. That is. That's it. Mighty Clouds
like
of Joy.
Mighty Clouds of Joy.
And they would say, you picking them back up on Monday.
And ask God to take your cares. Leave them with him.
Yeah.
Don't take them back.
Don't need
I mean, you can't solve the problem, but he can. And he'll make you feel a whole lot better. He will.
That's the truth.
Hallelujah. Seventh, you got more than enough for your need to be met, for you and those you love to walk in, what's that word?
His.
Surplus.
Surplus.
We love surplus.
Yeah, I love surplus.
You've ever had a tough day financially? You want to turn around or a pick-me-up more potent? And lasting than an energy drink, whether it's Red Bull or one of those big old Mountain Dew things, whatever they call that. I don't know what it is. I don't drink that mess.
Found in the Word of God.
I know, it is.
Energy.
I did a teaching one time. Better than
Red Bull.
Better than Red Bull.
That was when Red Bull was raging.
Red Bull raging.
Yeah. Just saying. It was the popular drink at that point.
Deuteronomy 28, 11 and 12.
That's
or 11,
it.
Actually.
And the Lord shall make you have, I love the way it says this, the Lord shall make you have a surplus of prosperity through the fruit of your body, of your livestock, and of your ground in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you.
Mm-mm. It's important to notice that this scripture doesn't say
there you go.
That God will give you a surplus of poverty. It doesn't say that. It says that he'll give you a surplus of prosperity. Hallelujah.
That's right.
And it's time to move from just enough, just getting by, lack, into surplus.
Mm-hmm.
That's God's best for us. See that? Go ahead.
Well, I don't. Egypt is where we all started. And Egypt was the land of not enough. When you're not saved, when you don't know, even when you're a young Christian, you don't know a lot. Egypt is the land of not enough. Then you move into the wilderness, and that's a land of just enough. And when you get into the promised land, that's the land of more than enough. So our whole life journey is to go from Egypt, where we're born, into from sin, into the land of more than enough through Christ Jesus our Lord.
I believe in miracles. I've experienced many miracles in our lives.
Yes, we have.
But God's best is not for us moving from miracle to miracle. God's best is that we move in his blessing flow, which leads us into surplus. And that's where we want to be.
Mm.
And this verse, honey, even shows a variety of ways in which God can get money to us.
That's right.
It really does. So don't worry about whatever today holds. Just read and confess God's promises, his promises to you. Because his promises are critical. It's a prescription to make your day not one that you want to wish away.
That's it.
But you want to maximize it. Turn it around.
Believing.
If the day's not going the way you want, turn it around. You have the ability and the Holy Ghost power to do it with God.
With the words that come out of our mouths.
With the words that come out of our mouths. And
what lives in our heart.
You just got to take dominion over what's going on. And go enough. I'm not living like that today.
I've said that a few times.
It's what we have to do.
But it's, yes, and it's not just confessing the word. It's then putting the word to work in our lives so that it can manifest. We can change tomorrow by changing what we do today.
And see, your life can turn around in just a moment.
Mm.
And it's a moment that makes big decisions happen.
Yeah.
Anne Frank, of the Diary of Anne Frank fame, she once said, amazing young girl, she really was, how wonderful it is that nobody need wait a single moment before starting to improve their world.
Hmm.
That's a power quote. We need to grab a hold of that truth.
I know.
And let me say this too. If today is the worst day of your life, then tomorrow's going to be better. And that's the way to look at it. You got to have the right perspective on it. And just everything that the enemy wants to, you know,
discourage you with.
Discourage you with and mess you up.
Mm.
You need to mess him up by using the Word of God.
That's right.
Because when you start quoting the Word of God, he's headed to Walgreens or CVS, buy another case of Prozac. Because he can't deal with it when you're quoting the Word of God.
That's it. You know, we actually taught this morning in Rich Thoughts for Breakfast, and it was so good to us. And the Lord stirred us so much that we started talking about it after Rich Thoughts for Breakfast. And we said, you know what? We need a change tonight. We just need to do this tonight. Because the words, you know, taking these scriptures and putting these things to work in our lives, the enemy may have plans for you, but God has such greater plans for you. And the word and what we say, we've got to be careful we don't fall and get snagged by the words of our mouth. And starting, because what you're saying is what you're bringing about. So we need to, you know, out of the abundance of the heart is where the mouth speaks. And we need to fill that abundance. We need our heart to be filled with the word and the pure and the positive and the powerful of God every day, so that those things are the things that we start manifesting, because what we speak about, we're going to bring about. And yeah, you can have some days that are, as my husband always says, you know, when people say, how you doing? He goes, if I got any better, I'd have to be twins. Because there's just not fair for one person to have all this joy. Or if people say, have a great day, he goes, it's the only kind we ever have. And if you have that kind of an attitude, yeah, some days might be just a little better than others. But if you just try to build that attitude in your life and know that the Lord has you no matter what.
And let me say to you that those responses of mine are not just when everything's going right.
Oh, yeah.
Anytime anybody says, that's what I say to them.
That's right.
I do. And that's the way. Going back to the first scripture that you read tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs 18:20 in the
I
Good News translation. You will have to
yes.
live with the consequences
That's
of
right.
everything you say.
Amen.
That's an incredible scripture. And so much truth. If you're wondering why you're having to deal with some of the things that you are dealing with.
What seeds have you planted
what
in
seeds
the past?
Have you planted?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you've spoken things that are
That's right.
not of the word.
That's it.
And
you're reaping that consequence.
And sometimes maybe you've even indulged yourself in conversations with friends. You weren't negative, but they were speaking it. And you're sitting there just kind of, you know, going along with it.
Mm.
Don't go along with it.
That's right.
In fact, let them go.
And you get along on the right, yeah.
Yeah, you don't need them in
with
your
the right
life.
Conversations.
You don't need anybody in life
yeah.
that's going to hold you back. Now, I'm not telling you to divorce your spouse. Don't get me wrong. I'm talking.
Yeah.
That's a matter of
but
prayer. And by the way, when
right.
you pray for that, you're not going to change them. The Holy Spirit is.
That's it.
You're not their Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit
mm-hmm.
bring about the change in their lives.
That's it.
That needs to be. Do you know today was our anniversary?
I do. 46 years strong.
I know.
That's exciting.
You are a beautiful bride. And you're more beautiful now.
Thank you, darling. I think you're pretty handsome yourself.
You say it goes, it's true.
I'll tell you one thing on marriage. This is the truth, though. You know, what you feed lives and what you starve dies. And if you want a strong marriage, then you just need to start feeding the things that you want to have living and starving the things you don't want to have living in your marriage. And yes, you know, you could talk about the aggravations that things happen, or you can talk about the good things and put your mind, set your mind on those things that are good. Just sometimes we have to overlook, sometimes we have to pray about, you know, the things that we don't care so much about. But the point of it is this, you know, it's all in your attitude, and it's all in really giving it over to the Lord. And I mean that as sincerely as I know how to say, because there will always be something that's good and there will always be something that's not so good. So what do you choose to think on, meditate on? If you have an acorn, if something negative happens, you can plant it and water it and talk about it and fertilize it and let it grow, or you can pluck it out and go, no, I'm not meditating on that. I'm only planting the pure, the positive, and the powerful of the Word of God. And that'll go a long way on taking you where it is you, if that's where you want to go. A lot of it is just working through stuff. Communication, communication, and communication.
Speaking of communication, a wise thing for you to do is to join us every morning at 8:30 Eastern for Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
That's right.
If you can't join live, then do the playback. It'll energize you and charge you up.
Amen.
And you'll be ever ready.
That's it.
For whatever day comes along, the day brings.
That's it.
Amen.
And amen.
Well, till tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
Hallelujah. Good night.